Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. Who's enjoying the cold weather? It was freezing this morning, wasn't it? So cold, so I thought I'd wear a long sleeve shirt. So change of weather, change of clothes. But we need the rain. We need the rain to come. And so I thought it'd be good if we could pray for the rain. What do you think, everybody? Come on, can we stand to our feet? Let's just pray. God controls the weather.
Yes.
He can command the rain and the wind and the storms to stop, and He can command the wind and the rains to come. And Father, we just come before You, Lord, and as smart as we may be, mankind is, Lord, we can't control the weather. Lord, we depend upon You. And Lord, we just pray right now for the rains here in Western Australia. Lord, for the farmers down south, up north, out in the wheat belt, Lord. We pray that the rains will come, good soaking rains that get into the ground and nourish the crops, nourish the trees. Lord, we just pray for rains to come to fill up our water supplies. And Lord, we pray when the rains come, we'll be able to say to God, be the glory. We pray for the weather in the eastern states that's just bizarre and crazy. We just pray peace over Australia, peace over our weather. And Lord, may we be reminded that You are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and Lord, You're the God over the weather. And Lord, we pray for us today here. Lord, we've come to church and we've sang those beautiful songs, anthems of praise to You. And we just thank You for that testimony we've heard from John. But Lord, we give You thanks today for Your presence that's with us. Thank You, Lord, You said when people gather together in Your name, You're there with them. And Lord, that's really important to us today. This service is really important. This is our moment in the week where we come together to worship You. It's a sacred time. And so we just pray, Lord, You'll give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to us as a church, as families, and as individuals. And Holy Spirit, we just pray that You'll breathe upon people today. These people here today who need a miracle. People here today, Lord, who need wisdom, guidance. And we thank You that we're in a good place today. And so we open our hearts to You and our minds to You. Holy Spirit, minister as Your will, we pray. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, and they shouted, God bless you. May be seated. Now, could you please check your mobile phones? Make sure they're off. You know, I got to be honest with you. I hate it when a mobile phone goes off in church. And I have to really think nice thoughts about the person who didn't switch their phone off. It happens by accident. It happened to me once. Actually, it happened to me once while I was preaching. And my phone went off in the pulpit just behind me. I was very embarrassed. So if you could switch your mobile phones off or put on silence. And let's just try and keep our distractions to a minimum. And the reason why I say that, I don't want to be hard, but I'm just really aware of how when we come to church, some people come really thirsty and really hungry because they've run out of options and they come to hear the word of the Lord. And so I want to be very respectful of that when we bring the message, somebody next to you might really need this today. You might say, well, I'm pretty cool. Well, great, I'm glad you're cool. But for somebody else, it's really important that we just make it easy for them to receive the word. Amen. Amen. Now, next week's Mother's Day, just so I'd let you know, and I've invited my sister Pamela Hannafeld to come and preach next week. And so she's going to come and minister the word of God. She's an outstanding preacher. And so I'm just delighted that she's going to be here. So I just thought I'd let you know. You've already mentioned the water baptism, haven't you? What date's that going to be? 18th, are you sure? Thornley Swimming Pool, we've got a form on the red top table. If you want to be baptized, we'll baptize you. But today, I've got a message I want to bring to you, and I've called the message Sabotaged. That's an interesting title. So may the Lord bless you. And so the message today is from the Bible. I also want to say that. When you come to Real Life Church, you're not going to come here for a motivational message. You're not coming here for a TED Talk. You're coming here for a message that's based upon the Word of God. And the Word of God is the Bible. The Quran is not the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. And I just want to just explain that to you. So this message today comes from the Bible. And so in the Bible, in the book of Judges, which is found in the Old Testament, there's two halves to the Bible, Old Testament and
New Testament.
Who called the Old Testament the Old Testament? God didn't. Mankind did. And the same with the New Testament. It's all God's Word. Amen. Judges is in the Old Testament. So in the Bible, in the book of Judges, We come across this middle-aged couple who were visited by an angel. And this angel told them that they would have a baby boy. And the angel also said that their baby boy was to be a Nazarite for life. Now, a Nazarite was not a Nazarene. A Nazarene was somebody who was born in Nazareth. Jesus was the Nazarene. He came from Nazareth. But a Nazarite was a man or a woman who was dedicated to God. And to show their dedication to God, this Nazarite, some did it just for a couple of weeks, month or a year. Some people were Nazarites for life. And the Nazarite was not permitted to cut their hair or drink any alcohol or eat any forbidden food. So the angel told this couple that their promised son was chosen by God to help Israel overcome the Philistines, who were the sworn enemies of ancient Israel. And sure enough, this couple, and they didn't have any other children, this couple eventually had a baby boy, and they named him, and you already know who I'm talking about, Samson. Concerning Samson, the Bible says this. We've got the scripture up on the screens. It says, "And the Lord blessed Samson, and the Lord blessed him as he grew up. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him." The Lord blessed him as he grew up, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. Please note, everybody, because in view of what I'm about to say, Almighty God blessed Samson. And let me tell you, the blessings of God are better than winning lotto. Amen. Because to be blessed by God means to have God's favor upon you. And Samson grew up under God's favor. And make no mistake about it, God deeply loved Samson. And he wanted Samson to succeed just as God wants you to succeed. God is not against you. God is for you. And eventually, Samson grew up and he became a significant tribal leader within ancient Israel. And at that time, there was no king. The kings were to come. And so these tribal leaders had a name and they used to refer to them as judges. That's why this story is in the book of Judges. And consequently, that meant that people would come to Samson for guidance, for leadership, and for judge. He would judge disputes. However, Samson was also a warrior. Not a warrior, but a warrior. Some of us are warriors, aren't we? Samson was a warrior. And this is what he was famous for. But Samson was no ordinary warrior. God gave him supernatural strength with which he was able to fight the Philistines. It's interesting when people draw pictures of Samson, they draw him as a muscle-bound guy, a big guy. But I think he wasn't like that at all. I don't think he probably did any exercise at all. He was just a regular looking guy, but he had supernatural strength for which he was able to fight against the Philistines. And when Samson was in battle, ladies and gentlemen, he could not be killed. When he was in battle, he was literally invincible. He couldn't be defeated. No matter the number of men who were sent against him, they couldn't defeat him. One time, there's a story there in the book of Judges, a Philistine army of elite, fully equipped soldiers tried to defeat him. They had shields, spears, swords, javelins. They tried to defeat him. But Samson destroyed them all. Only he had no weapons, but he picked up the jawbone of a donkey. And with the jawbone of a donkey, he destroyed 1,000 men. It was just ridiculous. But that's what happened. So Samson, I'm trying to paint a picture here. Samson was chosen. Samson was blessed by God. Samson was supernaturally powerful. This is a picture of the church today. But you know, in spite of all the blessings of God and the favor of God, Samson's life was tragically cut short. Unbelievably, Samson was captured by the Philistines and they conquered him even when he was supposed to be invincible. I mean, how do you do that? And the Philistines then humiliated Samson by gouging out his eyes and then putting him in chains. So Samson began his life with great blessing, potential, and promise. He began his life with the favor of God. Samson started well. But in life, it doesn't matter how you start, it's how you finish that counts. And for Samson, he finished his life in tragic disgrace. And no one wants to finish their life in disgrace. When Samson was growing up, he didn't say, "Oh, I plan to finish my life with disgrace." Nobody wants to be like that. So how did this tragic ending happen to Samson, the invincible warrior? How can a person who's chosen and blessed by God, how can that person end up in tragic disgrace? Did God fail Samson? Wasn't God powerful enough to help Samson? What happened to Samson? And this captivating story of Samson is in the Bible for a good reason. It's in the Bible as a warning to you and to me and to all the followers of God, so we do not end up as a tragic disgrace like Samson. Samson's story in Judges chapter 13 to 16 is a story that has much to say to our generation of Christians today. Now, just as Samson belonged to God, we also belong to God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen? We've repented of our sins. And if you haven't, today's a good day to repent of your sins and get right with God. We've repented of our sins. We've turned to God. In return, God has made us to be born again. He's poured his love, his grace, and his mercy into us and upon us. We are in God's family. That's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
His Holy Spirit is within us. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And the rich promises of God are ours through Jesus Christ, whose name is above all other names.
Amen.
The Bible says this in the New Testament, in 2 Peter, it says, "By his divine power, God has given us something we need for living a godly life."
Everything.
God has given us everything, everything. God's not holding back. God's given us everything we need for a godly life. So we can see that God has given us everything to us that we need so that we can be blessed, so that we can be successful and live successful lives to his honor and glory. And that's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
So like Samson, who was chosen by God, we're also chosen. You're chosen. You're blessed. You're equipped. You're favored by God. God is with you. God is with us. Whether you feel it or not, that's what the Word of God teaches us. However, unlike Samson, we don't fight against the Philistines. They don't exist anymore. We don't fight against any people. We don't do that. We don't punch people up. Amen?
Yeah.
Just want to emphasize that with one or two here today. Amen. On the contrary, we're here to win people to the Lord.
Yes.
We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. So we fight against evil, we fight against sin, and we fight against the devil, and we fight against the devil's work. So we are in a ferocious spiritual battle. But we'll come back to that question. What happened to Samson? Why did he fail? Did God let him down? And did God let him down? The answer to that question is no. God never failed Samson, and God will never fail you. What happened to Samson? Samson was captured by the Philistines and became a tragic disgrace because he made a huge mistake that caused him to crash and burn. Some people, maybe you, think that Delilah, the evil seductress, was Samson's major mistake. But that's not the case at all. She wasn't his major mistake. Now, yes, Delilah seduced Samson into telling her about his faith in God and how his hair represented his covenant with God as a Nazarite. Yeah, he did all of that. But that was not Samson's major mistake. Delilah happened as a consequence of Samson's major mistake. So what was Samson's major mistake? Samson shipwrecked his faith and destroyed his life because he constantly sabotaged the blessings that God had put upon his life. Constantly sabotaged the blessings of God himself. Samson was conquered by the Philistines because he himself undermined the favor of God that rested upon him. He made himself vulnerable to destruction. Samson was his own worst enemy. Samson was mighty in battle, but he was weak on the inside. And brothers and sisters, did you know that it's possible to sabotage the great favor and grace that God has put upon your life and my life? We can do the same. Did you know that in spite of God's grace and love, you can still self-destruct just like Samson if you do not pay careful attention? What do the scriptures have to say about this? Well, I have a scripture here from Galatians chapter 6, and it kind of fleshes this a little bit more out for us. It says, you will always, see that first line? You will always. You will, that's an important word, always. You will always harvest what you plant. You always will. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So in view of those things, let's not get tired of doing what is good. Because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't quit, if we don't give up. So that's a great passage. Let's not ignore it. Because we can see from this scripture that our life decisions and our life choices carry a consequence. Because you always, always, always harvest what you plant. It's a law of life. Just as real as I would throw an apple up in the air, we all know what's going to happen to it. We do, don't we? Watch this. This is going to shock you. But I predict that if I jumped, I'm going to land on that next step. And the next one. Why did that happen? Because of the law of gravity. And the law of life is you will always harvest what you plant. As sure as gravity happens, this spiritual law also will happen. If you sow to the sinful nature, you reap decay. That's for sure. Decay. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap life. You will reap one or the other. It's just two choices. It's binary, you know. There's just two options. The same as the way it's meant to be with gender. Two options. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Amen. Actually, I'm going to go all the way on this. We shouldn't even be, listen, we should get rid of the word gender. It is an imposed word. The Bible doesn't use that word. The Bible uses sexes. There is female, there is male. That's the end of the story. Just wanted to say that. So, don't like the word gender. Anyway, moving right along. Now we'll see if I'm going to reap what I sow after making that. So. Our life decisions and values that we live our lives by are the spiritual seeds that we're all planting, whether you're aware of it or not. You're doing it all the time. And in the future, you and I, we will eventually harvest from what we've planted today. Today is impacting what's going to happen down the track 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. Sooner or later, there's going to be a harvest of what's happening today in your life. And what we harvest in the future will either reinforce the blessings of God upon our lives, or it will stifle the blessings of, and goodness of God upon our lives. Do everybody get that? What we harvest in the future, because of what we planted today, will either reinforce the blessings of God upon our lives, or it will stifle the blessings of God upon our lives. And so we constantly pray for God's blessings upon our lives. We constantly pray for God to help us in the varying circumstances of life. We all do it. And it's good. And God God wants to turn situations around. We pray to him. We say, God, bring good out of bad. We pray those kind of prayers. And all of those prayers are good because God wants us to call upon his name, because God is our refuge and he's our strength.
Amen.
But if we persist in habitually planting the wrong seeds through poor life decisions and choices that we make, we end up sabotaging the good plans that God has for us, and we end up making life very difficult for ourselves. We make it hard for God to answer our prayers.
Yes, that's right.
And that's a huge mistake that Samson made. And it's the same mistake that Christians all over the world are making today. Samson was blessed by God, but he lacked wisdom and discernment and understanding. And so he kept making the wrong seeds of poor choices. He kept sowing to his sinful nature constantly. And then eventually he reached a tipping point of destruction. And that was Delilah.
Yeah.
Samson had foolishly adopted the values of the Philistines. Seriously, he had. Samson became friends with the Philistines. Did you know Samson only ever dated Philistine women? And that meant he was constantly being exposed to the influence of the Philistine pagan gods over his life. What do we think was happening to him when he was doing that? But Samson wasn't meant to do that. He was meant to resist the Philistines, not embrace them. Resisting the Philistines was God's call upon his life. That's where the blessing was. Samson was chosen by God to rescue Israel. But as time passed by, Samson became more and more like a Philistine himself. And harvest time eventually came to Samson, and he reaped death and decay. And he was captured by the Philistines. Now, being captured by the Philistines was not God's will for his life. Not everything that happens in your life is God's will.
Yeah.
I've had enough of people saying that. Well, God's got it all under control. Not if you're being an idiot, he hasn't.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
God's plan for Samson was victory,
yes.
Success,
yeah.
Joy, contentment,
yeah.
And to lead Israel with wisdom. But Samson sabotaged the blessings of God upon his own life because he constantly made life decisions that were just plain stupid. Just stupid. Just stupid. And ladies and gentlemen, God never puts his blessing on stupidity.
Yeah, yeah. That's a revelation.
It doesn't put his anointing on stupidity. Never. Yeah, and it's the same today. Let me give you some examples of stupidity. I'm trying to be really careful because I don't want to, I don't like to upset people, but anyway, here we go. Spiritual stupidity. It's like someone constantly gambling all their money away at the casino and then expecting God to bless their finances. How stupid, how dumb can you be and still breathe? Seriously. Or it's like a smoker, no offense. It's like a smoker asking God to protect their lungs while inhaling all that poison.
Yeah.
And saying, God, just heal my lungs. It's just stupid. Am I the only one who thinks we live in a stupid world? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Or it's like a married man flirting with other women. But he'll pray that God will cause his wife to love him more. That's just stupid as well. God doesn't bless stupidity. He calls us to stop being stupid.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, stupid people, they do stupid things. And then when God doesn't answer their prayers, they blame God.
Yeah.
That's just stupid as well.
Yeah.
God calls us to stop being stupid. And we all do stupid things from time to time. And if I'm looking at you right now, it's just purely coincidence. But we do. That's why we need a rescuer, and his name is Jesus.
Yes.
But stupid, bad life choices, they always, without exception, sabotage the good work of the Lord.
Yeah.
Unless we repent.
Yeah.
and stop planting those foolish seeds of self-destruction. And the Lord comes to rescue us. Stupidity undermines God's best for our lives. And that's a good place to say amen. So by the time Samson encountered Delilah, he'd already lost all of his wisdom, all of his discernment. He was just behaving stupidly. He was like a lamb to the slaughter. Invincible Samson became a really easy target. Easy target. It didn't matter how strong Samson was, he still became a tragic disgrace because he never pursued wisdom and understanding, and so he reaped destruction even though he'd been chosen by God. Dear brothers and sisters, there is the wisdom of God and there is the wisdom of the world. Listen, there's the wisdom of God and there's the wisdom of the world. It seems to me, with a lot of Christians, they're starting to trust too much of the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of the world leads to destruction. I'm not just talking about going to hell, that, you know. I'm not talking about the afterlife. That's not what this message is about today. I'm talking about this life. The wisdom of this world leads to discontent and destruction in this life. But the wisdom of God leads to real life in God, and that more abundantly. You can turn to God and ask for your sins to be taken away, and God will answer that prayer, absolutely. But if you still choose to live your life under the wisdom and values and thinking of this fallen world, then you will struggle. Your life decisions will be poor and your faith will remain weak. And sadly, you will sabotage the work of God in your life, and you, of course, don't want to do that. But if you endeavor to learn to live, we learn these things. We learn to live. See, we've got to learn things in the Christian life. Everybody wants things instantly. God, give me wisdom instantly. God, do this. God. No, we have to learn some things. We have to discipline ourselves. I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple. I must learn to live under the wisdom of God. And then when you do that, then you will reap a rich and full harvest of God's favor upon your life. Therefore, concerning God's wisdom, the scriptures exhort us to tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Make this a goal. Make this a focus. This is for us today. It's for me. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. And that's godly wisdom. That's what this verse is talking about there on the screen from the book of Proverbs. And godly wisdom is not measured by your IQ. And godly wisdom is not measured by a person's education. The Bible says twice in the book of Psalms, the fool has said, there is no God. I'll repeat that again. The fool has said, there is no God. But there are a lot of PhDs, a lot of academics who say there is no God. Such people may have a high IQ, they may have accumulated a lot of information, but they lack true wisdom. These people are blind fools. Instead, the Bible says this, it says, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. What is the fear of the Lord? As a child, many years ago, I was brought up in a house, a family of love and lots of fun. My siblings and I, we were taught to obey our parents. I know it's going a bit old-fashioned, but I still believe in obeying your parents, right? Okay. And show respect. When an elderly person gets on the train, a young person stands and gives their seat up. Amen. We were also expected to do our chores and tell the truth. For my father, the worst kind of misbehavior is if I lied. And if we misbehaved or told a lie, my father would punish us. And sometimes he would punish us with a solid smack on our bottoms. Mind you, when I got to 25, I asked him to stop. This is obviously when I was a child. Sorry. My mother did not do the discipline in our family, But we hated it when she would ever say to us after we had misbehaved, "Wait till your father gets home." And the rest of the day was ruined. You know what I'm talking about, yeah. So my siblings and I received, especially my sister and I, because I've got a younger brother, my parents are a bit easier on him, but my sister and I in particular, we received our fair share of spankings as we grew up. But despite all the spankings, we just adored our dad. And he adored us. I remember when he used to spank us, 3 minutes, not even that, 90 seconds later, it was as if the event had never happened. Punishment was meted, it's all over. He adored us, and we just wanted to be with him, but we also feared him. But it was a healthy, respectful fear. And consequently, our home was a safe, healthy place because we knew we were loved by good and consistent parents. And listen, and we knew exactly what was expected of us, and we knew exactly where the boundaries were. We had boundaries. The fear of the Lord is a bit like that. God is good. God is merciful. God works for our best. God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and that was eternity's greatest sacrifice of all. But as the followers of Jesus, let's remember what is expected of us, and let's remember where the boundaries are. Don't cross the boundaries. God is still Almighty God. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Creator of everything. I get so offended when I hear a Christian refer to Jesus Christ as JC. I've heard Christians do that. Not here at Real Life Church. We don't do that. He is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. He's the Creator of everything. God rules all of eternity and He has the final say, not you or me. And we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, yes, we will. To give an account of ourselves. The fear of the Lord is important. Each of us will have to face Jesus Christ, and you want your time with Jesus to go well.
Yes.
So it's healthy, and it's very wise to fear the Lord. And I especially urge you here at Real Life Church, listen, never, ever, ever use the Lord's name as a swear word.
Right.
Don't do that. We're Christians. That is a boundary that you should never cross. And if you've done that, have you noticed? Nobody ever says, you know, when they hit their thumb or whatever, then nobody ever says, "Oh, Buddha or Muhammad." We don't want to be disrespectful to the King of Kings. And if you've ever done that, then I urge you to repent of that, and then God will forgive you for using his name in vain. So, brothers and sisters, it's healthy and rational to show the Lord the respect he rightly deserves. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. The fear of the Lord is like wearing a pair of spectacles. The words, young people wouldn't really understand this, but I understand this and a lot of you do. The words of a book may be blurry and unclear. I cannot read a book without spectacles. But a pair of reading glasses, spectacles, brings everything into focus and you can see. In the same way, the fear of the Lord brings life into focus and you can see clearly. The fear of the Lord affects your worldview. You see things clearly. You understand things. The fear of the Lord will bring you greater discernment about the things that are happening to you and to your family, right through to understanding what's happening on the news, on the TV. As you learn the fear of the Lord, you will become like the famous men of Issachar who understood the times and what Israel needed to do. That is wisdom, and it comes from the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
So the fear of the Lord affects your life decisions because out of respect for your Savior, you consider what is important to God of more importance and then what is important to other people or even important to your own feelings. Indeed, the fear of the Lord keeps you and it protects you from your own stupidity.
Yeah.
Do you know one of the reasons why I don't flirt? Boy, that's random, isn't it?
There's
two reasons. I'm just going to say it how it is. I'm madly in love with my wife. We've been married for 41 years and I'm madly in love with her. But I also fear God. I fear God. And for that reason alone, I, as a Christian man, I would never flirt. I'd keep away from porn. It's not that we don't get tempted in these things. That's got nothing to do with it. It's I see clearly. I see clearly. I fear God. Protect me from my own stupidity. Samson lost his fear of God. And so he became foolish. And then his foolishness blinded him to his own stupidity. And then he sabotaged God's plans for his life. Let's not be like Samson. Don't be like Samson. Let's learn. See, learn. Learn to fear the Lord. Teach yourself the fear of the Lord. Let's not sabotage the blessing and favor of God upon over our lives. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. I'm about to wrap this up, but I just want to read this beautiful passage to you. It's about true wisdom. It says this: joyful is a person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Wisdom offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. If you sow seeds of wisdom, what a wonderful harvest you will have. Godly wisdom will guarantee that your life decisions and choices will be healthy. Godly wisdom will guarantee that you will reap a good harvest of blessing in this life and you'll reap in the next. And finally, how do we nurture godly wisdom in our lives? Just three verses on the screen. We've already discussed fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. But this is a beautiful psalm. It says, all who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. Obeying God leads to growth in our wisdom. And finally, James 1 verse 5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So we nurture godly wisdom in our lives by putting these three verses together. We put them all together and we act on them. Number one, let's learn to fear God so we can build a foundation for true wisdom. Let's obey God's commandments and we will grow in true wisdom. And finally, let's ask God for wisdom, especially when we face the many crossroads of life. Amen. Amen. And I've ran out of words, and God bless you. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. We're going to finish in a moment. But this is a beautiful time. The Holy Spirit is with us. He's breathing upon our hearts. He's breathing life. And Father, I just pray you put a seal upon that message today. I pray, Lord, there will be good fruit will come from that message in all of our lives, mine, everybody's. We pray this week that that message will percolate deep into our thoughts, into our spirits, into our behaviors. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word brings life. But with every head bowed and every eye closed as we're in this place and we're coming to the pointy end of the service, I would just want to give you an opportunity to get right with God. I would be remiss to close this service and not give you an opportunity to repent of your sins. And maybe you've never done that before. Well, today is your opportunity. And to repent means to simply say to God, I acknowledge I've done wrong and now I turn my back on that wrong and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and make me right with you. You need God. You need God in your life. But you've got to repent of your sins. And let him rescue you. Let him save you. Why do you need God? Well, you're just not going to make it through this life well without God. But then if you don't have God and when you're standing before Jesus, then that's a real problem. Because you can't get into heaven if you're not right with God today. If you're not right with Jesus Christ today. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, before we finish in a moment, can we pray for you? And I know, I just sense in my own heart, the Spirit of the Lord just tugging upon people's hearts here today. You know you're not right with God. We'd love to pray with you. Could you let me know? Just stay where you are, but just give me a wave of your hand and we're just going to pray for you. If you want to get right with God today, God bless you, darling. God bless you down the back too. Down the back, yeah, God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you on my left. Anybody else? God bless you. On my left again. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit right now. Anybody else? I just love it when we all pray the sinner's prayer together. Let's do that right now. And especially those who have just raised your hand, just put your hand upon your heart. Maybe we could all do that, huh? And let's pray this sinner's prayer. I'll say a phrase and you follow. But let's say it with gusto and enthusiasm as we're calling upon the name of the Lord today. So let's say it together, especially those who just raised their hand. Here we go. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. And I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name, amen. And Father, we just pray for those, Lord, who've prayed that from their hearts today, getting right with you, that, Lord, your life will pour into their spirits right now. Wash away their sins. Wash away their past. Give them a new beginning. Lord, as they decide to follow you, we declare them to be born again today. Following you, protect them, keep them, we pray in Jesus' name. Before we just finish with a song, I just want to pray for people here today. And you are right in the middle. You're doing stupid things. Stop it. You just got to stop it. I touched on a few things, but there's others. And I know the Holy Spirit was convicting people's heart today, pricking your heart. You thought, whoop, yep. Well, today, stop it. Repent. And say, God, I'm sorry. God, help me. Help me. Rescue me from my own stupidity. Teach me the fear of God. Teach me how to fear you. Maybe you've lost your fear of God. You know, you're backslidden, one foot in the world, and oh, that's not good. That's not good. One foot, the kingdom of God doesn't work like that. You've got to repent today. So if that is you, yield to your convictions today. And let me pray for you. Just give me a wave of your hand. God bless you, and I'll pray for you if that, you're saying that's you today. God bless you. Yes. Anybody else, put it right up so I can see it. Don't be embarrassed. God bless you, sir. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. It's none of their business. It's you. God bless you, darling. God bless you. And Father, we just come before you. And Lord, sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And Lord, we like to blame everybody else. But Lord, we know sometimes we really stuff things up. And as your children, we just humble ourselves before you, especially those, Lord, who just raise their hand. And we just acknowledge sometimes we are just ridiculously stupid. And we come before you and we ask, Lord, for forgiveness today. Lord, wash away our stupidity. Wash away our sins. We repent. Lord, we're not going to go down that path anymore. We're going to come back to the wisdom of God. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers today. Help us, Lord, to walk righteously before you. And finally, Lord, we just pray for Real Life Church, us. We pray, Lord, that we'll be a church that fears the Lord. Pray we'll be a church, Lord, that's filled with the wisdom of God. Pray for wisdom at home, wisdom in our workplaces, wisdom as Christians. We pray for the true wisdom of God today. Pray wisdom for Real Life Church today. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen.